6 of the NBA season down, Matt. It's been pretty exciting. We got 10. Everyone's played anywhere from like 8 to 11 games, so we can pretty much determine how the rest of the season's going to go from here.
Right.
I'm glad everyone's back with us. I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker. We got a lot of good stuff. I like that we have one team that still hasn't lost. We have one team that still hasn't won.
Yeah.
it's all good.
Oh, by the way, Matt, the team that hasn't won a game ranked 30th in our Brick House podcast rankings.
The team that hasn't lost a game.
Numero uno.
Oh, man. We should just,
mi amigo.
We should just stop the season right here.
We obviously know everything there is about ranking teams.
Yeah.
I would say maybe we got one out of the other 28 correct, but, you know, as long as we got the top and the bottom, we pretty much nailed it.
That's right.
Other than Golden State, Cleveland, Atlanta, they look pretty dominant. San Antonio and Oklahoma City, it's good to see them back in form. My two teams, the Clippers and Rockets, are totally frustrating at this point in the season. But
well, the Clippers have had some injuries. And
yeah, both of those teams have lost some games they definitely should have won.
Yeah, the Rockets had a whole bunch of injuries, too, there in the middle of like a week ago.
But let's not depress myself right off the bat here.
Let's not.
Let's get into our game show segment. I think it's
right away.
And now here's the host of your Brickhouse game show, Bob Johnson and Matt Baker.
We both prepared some game show questions today, so we're going to see how we do. Keep score. See if we came up with any of the same questions too.
Okay.
You want to do the first one, Matt? Lead it off.
Bob, I will. There have been four players with triple-doubles this season. Can you name all four of those players?
Definitely Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook has two.
Kawhi Leonard.
Not Kawhi Leonard. I'll give you three wrong guesses so we don't drag this on.
Okay. Let's see. James Harden.
Harden has not.
John Wall.
John Wall has not.
Off to a great start here. Andre Drummond.
Drummond has not. That's four wrong guesses.
Kevin Durant.
That's five wrong guesses.
Steph Curry.
Wrong. Rajon Rondo has three triple-doubles already.
Holy cow. Wow.
Westbrook has two. Victor Oladipo has one.
Whoa.
And when I made this question, there were only three, but Draymond Green had another one last night on Saturday.
Yeah. So that was a good one.
Those are the four players with triple-doubles. I saw the NBA usually averages a triple-double every 30, 32 games, which is interesting.
Huh, okay.
So that means that it seems like every couple of nights someone's been getting triple-doubles lately. So
yeah. There's been probably about 150 games so far, something like that.
Yeah, so that's about right on.
Cool. Well, I got a question that involves the Sacramento Kings, too, just like your Rondo question here. So, Vivek Ranadive was seen sitting courtside with which 90s TV star?
Wow.
A, David Schwimmer. B, Kelsey Grammer. C, George Wendt. Or D, Ted Danson. Just the other day.
Yeah. I'm going to go Kelsey Grammer, Bob.
Boom.
Nailed it. Oh, man. Got it. He seemed like Vivek. Guy and like he likes watching some basketball.
Yeah, I bet Vivek gets down on some Frazier too.
Oh yeah, for sure. They're both. I Ranadive probably watches it because he enjoys it, but he just thinks I'm a smart man, so I should watch smart shows.
Yeah. Can drink wine and listen to Niles and Frazier talk all night.
Yeah. So that was a good one.
I think that's the first question you've got right on the Brick House Game Show.
Yes.
Or maybe either of us have got right.
There it is. All it took was about six questions.
We're shooting like Kobe on this game show.
Here's another one. Bob, Hito Turkoglu retired this week.
Okay.
After 15 seasons.
Yep.
Can you name the four teams that he played for?
Oh, I know the Magic and the Clippers.
Correct.
And, man, I don't know where he went before the Magic.
He was the team. He was drafted by the team he spent most of his career on pre-Magic.
Yeah. I can't say the Turkish national team, right? That doesn't count.
No. Is he Turkish?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Turkaloo?
Yeah.
Turkish? Yeah, it's right there in the name.
Okay, perfect.
I don't know. I only know the Clippers and the Magic. As soon as you tell me, I'm sure I'm going to...
He was drafted by the Sacramento Kings.
Oh.
He played on those Bibby Weber Peja teams.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. He was a young guy on those teams.
I even got the question wrong. He's played for five teams. He played for the Raptors for one season.
Uh-huh.
Remember, he signed that deal with the Raptors and then immediately regretted it.
Uh-huh.
There was something.
Oh, and they sent him back to the Magic.
No, then they sent him to Phoenix,
oh,
who had him for half a season before they sent him to the Magic for Jason Richardson in one of the, and I believe Marcin Gortat, in one of the better Suns trades over the past decade.
Wow.
So,
man, yeah, he retired just this year, but that 2009 finals run, he played so well in the playoffs.
He did.
That season, I think that earned him the last 6 years of his tenure in the NBA. I mean,
yeah,
he's really been downhill since then, player,
yeah,
on that team. Nice. Well, my next question involves a foreign player as well, Matt.
Okay.
Zaza Pachulia.
Oh, man.
Specifically. He was quoted as saying that he's liked Dallas since his rookie year because the city has a landmark named Zaza.
Wow.
Is it one of the following? A, the Zaza Hotel. B, the Zaza Museum. C, Zaza Steakhouse. Or D, the Zaza Crematorium.
Oof. That crematorium really... That makes me want to go with that one.
Maybe that's his career after the league.
Yeah.
Just take over the crematorium.
Yeah, I'll say the Steakhouse.
Steakhouse is the incorrect answer. It's the Zaza Hotel.
Oh, man.
I guess, yeah, ever since his rookie year, he saw that Dallas had a Zaza Hotel, and he said, you know, I could see myself living here, playing,
yeah,
here.
Yeah. I mean, that's not far from how people make decisions,
yeah,
affecting their life.
Yeah, yeah. I almost moved to Charlotte since Bob Johnson owned the Bobcats.
Yeah,
and I was like,
just,
hey,
just because. You might as well. This is where we are. This is where we're supposed to meet.
Bobcats. I could get behind rooting for them.
Yeah. All right, Bob. Do you want to quote a quote game?
Ooh.
Do you have one
guess,
of these?
Guess the fake quote. I didn't do one of these this week.
I wanted to see how good I could do at it.
Okay.
So I got to guess. I have four quotes for you. Guess the fake quote.
Okay.
When talking about DeAndre Jordan, Mark Cuban said, "It's not like DeAndre and I pinky swore."
Uh-huh.
That's that one.
Okay.
Number two, Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle.
Why don't you think he pinky swore? It seems like that's just due diligence.
Right, right. That would be. That is a basic, that is a common courtesy business move. Mavericks coach Rick Carlisle. "Well, we just have to do a lot better. We just do. And they're a quality team that has been getting sand kicked in their face just like they did to us." Talking,
okay,
about losing a game.
Okay.
Number three, George Karl. "People say things all the time. Children talk, adults talk. Sometimes it's hard to tell who is who." We've had a lot of controversy in,
ooh,
Sacramento lately.
I didn't hear that one, but that would be quite a burn if that were true.
Tristan Thompson on playing through frustration. "It's frustrating, especially when Lou Amundsen blocks your shot." Like, seriously?
I saw that block, so I know,
okay,
that one.
Okay, all right.
Oh, man, I got to say that George Karl child line.
Yeah, that was the fake one,
man,
there, Bob.
Yeah. That would, yeah, I know he's talked a lot of shit about DeMarcus, but
that was
a
little too
shy.
That was a little too much. When I wrote that one, I was kind of hoping that he would have been fired by now, like the rumor was, so that would have made a little bit more sense. But
nice. I got a Rick Carlisle quote for you,
okay,
actually. So after the game between the Lakers and Mavericks, Coach Rick Carlisle, Dallas coach, was quoted as saying, "Which Laker would make an excellent coach?"
Ooh.
Was it A, Lou Williams, B, Nick Young, C, Kobe Bryant, or D, our boy Meta World Peace?
Goodness. Man. Who was the second one you said?
Nick Young.
Who is Lou Williams?
Lou Williams.
I'm going with Lou Williams.
The correct answer?
Meta World Peace.
Meta World Peace.
Of course
Peace.
It is. Of course.
He's the correct answer. Anytime he's involved,
he is the correct answer.
You would never think it. It's just the trick question built in every time.
Okay.
I don't know how long I'll be able to get away with it.
Yeah. Well, that was how I think we each got one right this time.
Okay. Yeah. Score is 1-1. I still got a few more questions. You got any more?
I have one more.
Okay.
Yesterday, Saturday, we had a player score his 14th career game of 37 points or more.
And 14th career. Okay.
And he's known more for being a sixth man than he is anything. Do you know who that player is?
14th game of 37 points or more
in his career.
I'm going to say Isaiah Thomas, Boston Celtics.
I should have given you multiple choices. Jamal Crawford.
Ooh.
Fun fact.
I should have known the Clippers answer.
Fun fact, he in his career, he's started 427 out of 1,030 career games for 41.4%. But he's only started, I believe, 30 games over the past six seasons.
Yeah, the teams he started for didn't win a lot of games.
Sure didn't.
Especially the Knicks. All right, well, okay, I'll throw this last one out here for you. We'll move on to our next segment. The 76ers D-League affiliate is the Delaware 87ers.
Mm-hmm.
What is the historical significance of the 87? I have multiple choices.
Okay.
A, in 1887, Delaware was the first state to have to have a railroad track that starts on the East Coast and ends on the West Coast. B, in 1787, Delaware was the first state to ratify the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
C, in 1687, Delaware was the first state and only state to this day to divide counties into smaller territories called hundreds, which are similar to townships, I guess. Or D, in 1987, Delaware State Senator Joe Biden briefly flirted with seeking the Democratic presidential nominee, the closest a Delawarean member of Congress has ever come to being the president. I guess vice president counts, too.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like those can all be true, but I think it's probably the Constitution one.
Ratify the Constitution is correct.
Yeah. Are those other ones correct?
I made up all of them except the counties, although there wasn't necessarily in the 87 year, you know.
Yeah.
The railroad track is complete bullshit. I don't know.
Okay. The Biden one, I mean, Biden.
He did really try and consider running for president.
Right. He spent a lot of his political career thinking about and or running for president.
Yeah. So. But when you think, like, I guess I'll never beat Dukakis. I don't know if that's something to really brag about.
I just couldn't risk going up against that powerhouse of Michael Dukakis.
Bonus points here, Matt. What does ratify mean?
Like accept and make it so.
Yeah, that's true. I'll ratify that answer. It means to approve and express assent, responsibility, or obligation. Or in terms of a treaty or contract, to officially approve it by signing or voting for it.
Perfect. We're always teaching you stuff here on the Brick House Podcast.
Matt, you've got a twin segment for us today. Take it away.
We've got Robin Lopez is our feature with this lovely headline: New York Knicks center Robin Lopez attacks mascot after choosing Jennifer Lopez over him. Robin Lopez continued his reign of terror over NBA mascots earlier this week when the New York Knicks center attacked the Toronto Raptors mascot after the lovable dinosaur played a game of My Favorite Lopez before the Knicks and Raptors game Tuesday night. The Raptor brought out an easel and placed a sign of his favorite Lopez's: Jennifer Lopez, George Lopez, Mario Lopez, and Nancy Lopez. At the end of the joke, the Raptor chose J-Lo, infuriating Robin, who took the sign and beat the mascot down with it.
Oh, that's awesome. Where did you find this?
Latin Times Pulse.
Really?
Online.
Is that the website you frequent?
Sure. Now it will be. Robin has had a history of mixing it up with the mascots, maybe because he looks like a mascot himself. If you combine that with his 9.2 points and his 6 rebounds per game, I can only say that is $13 million well spent, Bob.
Nice. Well, I'd love to involve the Twins. I got another segment, a little thing we can talk about for our Seinfeld What's the Deal With segment. What's the deal with NBA players all dressing like hipsters, Matt?
What? Yeah.
I read an article once that suggested that David Stern is really the reason for the hipster movement in our culture, where he really helped forward it by enacting or
the dress code,
creating the dress code.
Right.
Created it. Most people assume in response to Allen Iverson. He wore the baggy jeans, the oversized shirts, the do-rags, the cornrows, and Stern instituted this dress code that basically said you can dress like anyone but AI. But nowadays, you know, the players have really taken to it, and it's kind of weird to think about, but these guys are all basically doing a fashion show in the locker room with each other. You know, critiquing, complimenting each other like they're Alicia Silverstone and Clueless.
right.
Anyways, thanks, David Stern, for making the NBA look like a bunch of 7-foot-tall Urkels out there. Just a whole other layer of entertainment to the game.
Yeah.
I'd like to introduce a new segment. This one is a gambling segment. It's 3 weeks into the season, so we can predict how everything's going to go from now on. I'm going to call this segment Papa Needs a New Pinky Ring. But it's way too early, but in honor of this segment, I'm going to make some really early finals predictions.
Bring it on, Bob.
I don't know why we're fooling ourselves. I think the two best teams last year were clearly the Warriors and the Cavs, and us included, we were guilty along with everybody else in the media who really wanted to imagine some other team would make it out of the West this year, that the Warriors were good, but they were going to have a lot of adversity. It's really hard to repeat, especially in such a difficult conference. But it looks like they're better than ever. In fact, I was looking at their schedule, and I would not be surprised if they were 19-0 or 18-1 by the end of November. Really only tough opponents they have coming up in their next 8 games are the Clippers
in Chicago,
in LA, and the Bulls in Golden State, which is the second night of a back-to-back.
Right. But you should think that you would think they would lose one of those, but the way they're playing, they just don't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, last night they were down 17 points to the Brooklyn Nets in the second quarter, and they were according to Vegas 17 point favorites in that game. Steph Curry had his first game where he looked like a mortal human being and not a video game player on NBA Jam who's caught fire five minutes ago.
And he still had 34 points.
34 points on 31 shots.
Mm-hmm.
But Iguodala really came through and helped them secure the win. They were playing against Brooklyn, and you know we've seen the Warriors erase 17-point deficits in 3 minutes before.
Yeah, a matter of moments.
So that's my way too early finals prediction. You want to make any finals prediction, or you think that that's the safest bet?
I mean, I don't know how I can go against that, Bob.
It's pretty perfect.
Game of the week.
Our game of the week. We should just do it real quick. But this Thursday, the Warriors are playing the Clippers in L.A. If you watch the game the first week of the season, you'll know this is the best rivalry in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
The Clippers may not be the second best team in the league, but these two teams have just so much bad blood between the two of them. It's hard not to watch, especially Draymond versus Blake Griffin.
Right.
And Chris Paul versus Steph Curry. Although, I don't know if Chris Paul is having as much fun with that recently.
Ugh. Poor guy.
Another section I'd like to introduce, first time on Brick House, is one called
Basically Nostradamus.
This is where I'd like to highlight a prediction, and in this version I'd like to sort of make fun of the media on this one. and the way that they have taken an affinity to one Chris Paps Porzingis, who I feel like is going to be a recurring character on the Brick House podcast.
I mean, he's already done so much with his...
Has he done so much, though? My friend yesterday was just like, ESPN, are we really just going to keep showing the highlight of the almost game winner?
Yeah, that is true.
He didn't hit it. Well, he made it. It didn't count, but let's just keep showing that highlight. He's 7'3", though.
Yeah.
He's 7'3",
and he almost made it. He almost made it.
It almost counted.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, he's the greatest European player of all time.
In my estimation, he is, Bob.
Matt and Brickhouse listeners, I would definitely suggest you all turn your attention to the pictures that are available online of Chris Paps rocking little blonde Latvian cornrows. I heard about this because...
Can you repeat? Just in case... I don't think your mic was on, Bob. That came through a really staticky.
No, the members of the media were passing around photos to Chris Papp's teammates.
Yes.
Nick's teammates, yes. Showing pictures of him. And he seems to be somewhere between 10 and 13, rocking some serious Carmelo Anthony cornrows with the headband, with the scowl. Dude looks pretty hardcore for a 12-year-old Latvian dude.
Yeah. While you talk, I'm going to look this up.
Oh, man, it is great. And the funniest thing, too, is I was trying to think about, okay, so let's say he's 12 years old. That's 7 years ago. Who was rocking the cornrows back then?
I mean,
the two best players in the league with cornrows were Iverson and Melo.
Right.
And now he's sharing the court with Melo.
He's not smiling in these pictures because he knows if you have cornrows,
you gotta look
gangster. You cannot smile in pictures.
So my basically Nostradamus, ridiculous prediction is that if media hype has anything to do with Rookie of the Year, we should just give Chris Paps the trophy right now. The contrarian segment to this is another one, first time on the show, called
Eating Crow.
Oh, wow.
I was sort of going for, the Christopher Nolan type Batman voice for this segment. But basically, this one, I assume once we do enough of these podcasts, we'll have made so many ridiculous predictions that we can talk about the mistakes that we've made.
Yes.
But for the purposes of this first segment, I'd like to highlight a quote I just read this morning about how, according to sources, Dion Waiters is planning for an exodus this offseason to join the Philadelphia 76ers.
Solid.
I had to bring it up.
Match made in heaven, Bob.
Yeah. I mean, since this intentional tankapalooza that Philly started 3 years ago, Matt, correct me if I'm wrong, but I cannot think of a single player who ever even suggested, according to sources, that the team that he wanted to play for was the Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, maybe it is a match made in heaven to have such a dysfunctional NBA player on a dysfunctional team.
Yeah.
But Dion, he's from South Philly. He sees a hole at shooting guard.
Okay.
There's pretty much a hole everywhere.
I was going to say,
team, except for injured centers,
that glaring hole is kind of masked by every other glaring hole there is.
It is kind of a diss to Stauskas.
Yes,
I don't know who's even better at this point, Waiters or Stauskas. I think Eating Crow is appropriate for this section because Dion should really be careful what he wishes for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, OKC is going to be a title contending team this year, and for some reason, Dion thinks it's a good idea. It would be a better place to be playing for the worst team in the league who's intentionally trying to be so.
Yeah.
But it's probably all a moot point because Sam Hinkie does not seem like the kind of guy who would give Dion Waiters a lucrative contract.
Yeah,
he might, if he was an undervalued piece, he might get him to trade him for someone else.
Right. Well, it seems completely contradictory to their philosophy.
Yeah.
The goal of the Sixers, I believe, is to create their own super team. And if they are going to spend a lot of money to sign someone, then they would, I believe they would play hardball to wait until they get a Durant or an Anthony Davis or a Westbrook. Like, not saying they would get those, but someone in that mold. Like, you don't tank.
You don't tank for 4 years to give all your money to Deion Waiters.
You don't. And but unfortunately, but that's a classic. That would be a classic NBA strategy.
Uh-huh.
You know, like
a boneheaded strategy.
Yeah, it would be. It,
this next segment, Q, I was listening to in my car, mm-hmm. and I started to worry, like, whether or not the Q coming out of nowhere might cause some car accidents. So if you get in a car accident listening to this part of the podcast, you know, tweet us at BrickHousePod or email us. Tell us how it went.
It is definitely time to panic!
And my beloved Rockets are in this section this week, Matt. Yeah. And I'm hoping you can talk me out of it. But they're 4-6. They came into the season's favorites by some to win the Western Conference. They were trumpeted as being two players deep at every position. They, quote, got the steal of free agency in Ty Lawson. What's happening to them? I can't decide so far if it's this year that's the anomaly, their poor start, or maybe it was last year. You know, they really exceeded expectations last year. Myself and everyone else were predicting them to finish closer to the bottom of the Western playoff, sixth, seventh, or eighth. They ended up finishing second, you know, got Harden all the MVP chatter, even though Dwight Howard missed exactly half the season. But this year so far, Harden is 22 for 90 from three. He's leading the league in free throws, but doesn't seem to be getting the same calls. Kevin McHale, you know, at the beginning of the year, he was being talked about as maybe the most underrated coach in the league. That could have been the eating crow section right there.
Right.
On the Bill Simmons podcast, he was talking about how having LeBron on your team makes a coach look good.
Uh-huh.
But that's so stupid because it's like saying if you have Daniel Day-Lewis in your movie, you're a good director.
That is true.
Yeah. Anyways, my friends back home in Houston wanted me to point out them in the panic section this week and hopefully, you know, talk them out of it. Is this just a phase? Are they just trying to figure it out?
Well,
should we worry?
Let's look at this, Bob. They've played 10 games.
Right.
They've had 5 players play in all 10 games.
What do you mean? Only 5 players have
Only
played.
5 players have played in all 10 games.
Oh, man, yeah. So
Harden, Lawson, Ariza, Brewer, Capella. Okay?
Wow, okay.
So let's just say that's the starting lineup. I mean, it's not because it's a weird lineup, but if you take that, that's a average team.
Yeah.
You know, Dwight has played in 6 of the 10 games.
I don't know what Dwight's doing. They're not really talking about it. They're just resting him pretty much every other game.
Yeah. Terrence Jones has played in 5 of the 10 games.
Monty Yunus hasn't played at all.
Hasn't played at all.
Man.
And Patrick Beverley has played in 7 of 10. It definitely doesn't look good for the Rockets right now.
No.
It would look worse if they had Dwight and Terrence Jones for all 10 games. Or they had Monty Yunus in there. The problem, you say they're too deep at every position. You can't be too deep at every position when everyone's hurt.
When only 5 players are playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Harden's shooting 24% from 3-point. That is
not helping.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's Josh Smith, we wave you level 3-point percentage.
Right.
I don't think it's time to panic. I think once they get into the season and all these guys start playing more now, if they get into the season and these guys are still not playing games and they're still holding them out for some reason, then feel free to panic because that's real weird.
Yeah. I mean, it is November. You know, we'd rather have these guys playing in April, May, and June than November. But you got to win at least 60% of your games to even have a chance.
The Spurs can do that because the Spurs are 7-2 right now.
Right.
And you can afford to do that when you're 7-2. You can't afford to do that when you're 4-6 and you're looking up at the Grizzlies, the Trailblazers, and the Timberwolves.
Right. Yeah, we'll check back in with the Rockets pretty much every week on Brick House until it's too painful to do so. But one stat that drew my attention was last year, throughout the whole season and the playoffs, the only time they lost three games in a row was in the Western Conference Finals.
Really?
And so far this season, they have lost three games in a row twice.
Wow.
In their first 10 games.
So
they started 0-3, and they've just lost their last three.
Wait, so that would be they've lost three games in a row three times in their past, what, 17 games
yeah, 14,
or whatever?
14, 15 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Granted, four of those or five of those are against Golden State in the
still,
playoffs.
Still, it's a striking number.
I'm depressed, Matt. We got to bring back my favorite segment just so I can get out of this Houston Rockets funk. Let's talk about the game.
Is he back?
He's back. What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James? And I just wanted to mention how for Halloween, he went as Prince and he cut his facial hair into a nice Prince mustache.
Mm-hmm.
I heard he even went to a party where he performed Purple Rain.
Amazing.
I don't think he knows how to play guitar, but I must have karaoke'd the song or something. And since Halloween, he's been rocking the same mustache.
Hey, if you're gonna do it, do it.
It prompted me to revisit the Dave Chappelle, Charlie Murphy skit where he plays Prince and invites the Murphys over to his
yeah.
house and then challenges them to a game of basketball.
Yes.
I'm wondering if LeBron is just entertaining himself by, you know, pretending to be Dave Chappelle as Prince when he's playing against NBA players.
Blouses.
y'all bitches want some pancakes, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I think LeBron's doing, is just toying with his opponents at this point, dominating them like he was wearing purple stretch pants and still being the greatest player alive,
mm-hmm.
or at least east of Oracle Arena. But yeah, that's it. That cheered me up a little bit.
Anytime you can work old Chappelle's show into LeBron James, that's a good one.
Go back and watch that, Brick House listeners, if you haven't seen it in a while. It's hilarious, and especially if you're a Rockets fan, it'll drown your sorrows.
On the next episode of Brick House.
Next episode, I'm predicting a quote by Stan Van Gundy. He hasn't said this yet, but I think by next week, he'll get a lot of attention when he claims Andre Drummond is the best center he's ever coached.
Oh man, that's gotta happen.
Or maybe he'll say, you know, besides Shaq, Andre Drummond is the best coach, the
yeah.
best center I've ever coached.
And would he be wrong?
Probably.
Okay,
I mean,
fair enough.
Dwight was, you know, number two player in the league when he was on Orlando.
You know,
second in MVP votes, I think, the year Kobe won.
Mm-hmm.
But Stan has earned the right to troll Dwight at this point, I think. And
yes.
He's probably a better man than I'm predicting, but damn it, it would be fun if he said something like that.
We can hope, Bob.
Maybe he'll wait until the Rockets head up against the Pistons, face the Pistons in a game here soon. But that's it for this week of Brick House. Awesome talking to you again, Matt. You can find us at Brick House Pod on Twitter, Bob at BrickHousePodcast.com. If you want to email us, send us in some questions. Lob them out there, and we'll see if we can knock them out of the park. Well, until this time next week, when we're back with more Brick House, we'll see you then.